All right, welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Well, this is episode 123. This week we have a great interview with a brother. He has been on the show twice before, and recently he was on The Winding Stairs with Brother Juan Sepulveda. An amazing interview that it was actually split into two episodes, and I encourage you to go check them both out. They're amazing. Brother Joseph James comes on to talk to us about the new movie, The Freemason, now that it's finished, and he even has a special announcement right here for the first time anywhere. So stay tuned to the show. And I guess we will just go right into it as soon as I pay the bills. So, you can support the show a number of ways. First, there is the apps available for Android, Apple, and Windows 8. What is a little different about the apps is that along with the ability to stream the content anywhere, you get exclusive bonus downloadable content like the papers that we read, as well as new Masonic wallpaper for your mobile device each week. Around the holidays each year, I pick an episode to give away a PDF full-length book, and this just happens to be the episode that I'm giving away that book for this year. If you get the app this week, the book will be The Story of Freemasonry by W.G. Sibley, published in 1913 for the Lion's Paw Club. So it's a great week to go ahead and pick up the app. The second way that you can help out the show is through Stitcher Smart Radio. If you have Stitcher, that's cool. If not, it's a free program to listen to podcasts. However, it delivers you personalized content based on what you like. Again, it's free, but when you register for free, use the promo code WhenceCameU with no spaces, and the folks over at Stitcher Smart Radio send us $1. Also, right now, the Stitcher Smart Radio Awards are going on. If you head on over to Facebook page, www.facebook.com/WhenceCameU, you will see pinned to the top, most likely, a link that will take you to the voting page. This year, we are trying to get best in education and learning. So go vote for us and remember that you can vote every single day. The third way that you can help out the show is through a donation. The link is right there on the website, wcypodcast.com. It's through PayPal. It's about halfway down the page. It's totally secure. And the last ways to help out the show is through affiliates. Our newest affiliate I'm very, very proud of is freemasonryart.com. Freemasonryart.com is your place to find exclusive Masonic regalia and art made and produced right here in the United States by a brother. Brother Juan Sepulveda of the Winding Stairs podcast has poured his heart and soul into these exclusive aprons and artworks. Basically, you just visit freemasonryart.com and at checkout, use the promo code WCY and you'll immediately get 10% off of your order, and a small percentage of the sale comes back here to help out this show. Brother Juan was so kind to offer this to us, and I'm proud to be part of it, especially since these are made by a brother for a brother, and it supports him and this show. Our other affiliate is Onnit Labs, making great supplements for your mind and body. I use many of their products. They are guaranteed. You have heard about Alpha Brain on programs like Adam Carolla, Joe Rogan, Far From Center with Brother Rob Lewis. Well, it works. You can click through our links on wcypodcast.com, and when you do that and you buy something, a small portion of that sale comes back to this show. And if you use the promo code WCY, you'll get 10% off your order with that site as well. So do some last-minute holiday shopping and check out freemasonryart.com and Onnit Labs. All right, the moment you've been waiting for, let's get into the interview. All right, everybody, we are back once more with Brother Joseph James, the producer of several films. His latest is The Freemason Movie, just an incredible film starring Sean Astin, and as well as Richard Dutcher, Alex McKenna, and Randy Wayne. So I got to say, thanks again for stopping by on the show. How are you doing tonight, brother?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you for having me back. But yeah, no, I'm doing well and really appreciate all the support that's been coming in these last couple weeks.
Great, man. I mean, we last talked 10 or 11 weeks ago, and you had just finished shooting The Freemason. For the guys out there listening, Joseph sent me like a rough cut of the first half and a rough cut of the second half, and I couldn't wait to watch the second half once he sent me the first half. It was incredible, even though it was still a rough cut. And he just sent a complete version, and it was just mind-blowing the way he did the entire film. So just a couple days ago, though, you guys had a red carpet
premiere. And I have to ask, how was the turnout?
Oh, it was really good. I mean, we actually had to do two back-to-back showings because we had so many people that, you know, the one showing, you know, would have been just, we would have had to turn people down. And, you know, and it was a blizzard here in Utah. So, you know, it was dangerous just to get there. I mean, people were sliding off the roads and whatnot on the way home. I saw cars off the freeway. So it really tested people's desire to see it. And then we also were able to do interviews as people left the theater and got some, you know, some really, you know, interesting feedback, good feedback. And you know, I'll be posting pictures and interviews of that whole thing, you know, online as soon as I get a chance to put them all together.
Sure. And one of the things a lot of people listening might not know is that a lot of time these premieres are kind of exclusive events. And Joseph and the cast actually did this one in a really unique way, where this premiere was open to the public, not just to the cast and crew. So like you said, you got interviews. Tell us a little bit about some of the people who showed up.
Yeah, well, there were people from, you know, all walks of life. I mean, there were even people who showed up that night to watch a different movie, and, you know, we still had some seats available, so they just bought a ticket for Freemason just because, you know, they've always wanted to see something, you know, this in depth or it sounded interesting. And so, you know, we had teenage girls, we had men and women of all ages who some knew about Freemasonry, some had never heard of it, you know, every possible, you know, demographic. And so it was great to be able to talk with them afterwards and see, you know, how much of the information they were able to retain. And, you know, some people even stayed for the second showing after watching the first showing. Mm-hmm. and talking to them, they said, you know, watching it the second time, it was so much more informative. And I, you know, and so I'm kind of learning, you know, I guess that it's similar to, you know, maybe one of the lectures, to where there's so much information coming at you, and, you know, all of our terminology, you know, takes a long time to learn. And so for the general public, I think the first time, you know, if they don't watch it really carefully and, you know, follow every little thing that's going on, it would be easy for them to get lost, because it really, really goes that deep into how the Blue Lodges function.
Yeah, you know, the first time I watched it, I have to say, well, I watched the rough cut twice, and I've watched the final version twice now as well. And it's very true. The first time you watch that movie, because it is a kind of a whodunit action movie, and the action sequences really pulled you in. And sometimes you're watching the action and maybe you missed a little something here or there. And the second time I watched it, or came away from it, with I caught way more of the subtleties. Some of the jokes and stuff were so good in the movie. Sean Astin has a couple lines that just cracked me up. So how many Freemasons, do you know how many Freemasons showed up to the premiere?
Oh, yeah, there were quite a few. I mean, I didn't go through and count how many, but they were out in full support. And, I mean, obviously the movie to them was just, you know, being able to see, you know, every, you know, some of the things they've experienced, and then also, you know, having that different perspective on everything. You know, I got nothing but positive feedback, and they all agreed that the film it's right there on the edge of revealing as much as we can to the public without violating any of our oaths or things that we have learned are just between, you know, us. And so that part was also rewarding, because, you know, I know that, you know, that's a lot of people's fear of the movie, or people are a little bit skeptical in that regard, you know, especially when they find out that a Freemason made the movie. You know, I've had people comment, you know, oh, so are you revealing all of our secrets, or are you trying to...
Not to cut you off, but really, I mean, the first time I watched it, I was a little edgy, because I'd watch it and I'd catch a few scenes where I'd say, oh, is he gonna, and then he never reveals anything. You guys either amend it, change it somehow, it's so subtle that a Freemason's gonna get it, they're gonna know exactly what's going on. But you guys do such a good job. The writing was so good at just riding the razor's edge, and it kept, that was another element of excitement, really, for me watching the film. And I know it probably is going to be for a lot of folks. And like you were saying, I mean, people are on edge about it, because every time something about Freemasons comes in a movie, it's outrageous. or they don't like the way it's portrayed. And so I gotta ask, what is it like to be the guy who made the first movie about Freemasons that didn't give us a bad rap and stayed pretty darn true to the good character that we are?
Well, you know, I attribute the results of that to all the men who have passed on, who were Freemasons. I mean, you know, that's the main reason that I joined, aside from, you know, family members and ancestors who've been members. You know, I simply examined the men who have been a part of it, you know, going back, you know, hundreds, if not possibly thousands of years. And I came to the conclusion that this has to be something special, that all of these false accusations and conspiracy theories and things that have just been written and almost assumed to be fact without even any question, that was the main motivation for going on this whole endeavor. And so I think it's, it feels good to know that, you know, anybody who dealt with that in the past might be redeemed to some degree, or, you know, all the Freemasons that went before us, who, you know, I'm sure there were Freemasons who died, especially going back to the purge of the Templars. I mean, they really believed in the principles and they ended up getting killed for it. And it's horrifying. I mean, I've tried to think about it, you know, and the courage that it took for them to stand up and to remain as a unit. And I really hope that a lot of, you know, the false allegations that have been out there for hundreds of years and then reinforced are dissipated. And if I can even just, you know, make a small contribution in that area, I think the film I'll consider it a success.
Well, I think what you're going to find is a lot of folks who may be on the fence about Freemasonry are going to see the movie. And I think it's going to, if they were on the fence before, they're going to be on the side that realizes we're a great philanthropic organization and an organization that really does make good men better. I have to say, you know, there are a couple times in the movie where Richard Dutcher plays the master so excellent. His stage persona for that as the master of the lodge, he looks the part, he sounds the part. He's theatrical about how he's delivering, you know, the little sections where you'll see he's delivering a lecture. And he's so perfect at it. And the couple times where he makes an allusion to somebody asking him about becoming a Freemason is so awesome. And I think people are going to really kind of see, especially how he portrays the Master of the Lodge, this guy filled with wisdom, this guy who has been around the block, and he's this great Mason. And I can't give away anything, but the movie's just fantastic.
Yeah, on a little side note of that, he was doing an interview after he saw it, because the premiere was the first time he saw the movie. I mean, he wasn't involved in the editing. He said, "You're the expert." He played his role. He actually knew quite a bit about, the Freemasons, but he had to do a lot of research for the part. And one of the questions was, how did you prepare for this role? Somebody asked while they were doing the interview, and he said, "You know, I'm just realizing it, you know, right here in this moment, that I didn't really have anything to learn from or to review." I mean, he couldn't think of a movie that, you know, had a Grand Master, you know, of a Blue Lodge, and that functioning position. And so he really just had to hit the books and try to figure out, you know, what a Grand Master is and what they do. And we as Masons, we know them, people like myself who've been in different states, you know, different Grand Masters from different states, and you've seen how the line progresses. And so anybody who's been a Grand Master, I mean, it's got to be, I think it would be extra special for them to see somebody doing, you know, what they've done when there are very few people on the planet and in the history of the world have ever been a Grand Master. So I think that's his most, that's what he's most proud about, as far as that he got to be that and portray that. So
no question, he fit that role so perfectly. Like you said, how do you prepare for a role like that unless you're a Mason? And as far as I know, I mean, Richard Dutcher is not a Mason. He just plays one on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, he's not a member, but you know, has the utmost respect for what we do, and so yeah.
You guys really outdid yourself with the film. I mean, like I said, I'm really excited to see what happens. And now that it's premiered, you know, I'm getting questions. I'm reposting everything that you guys are doing, and I can only imagine how many emails you get. But for me, I mean, I get inundated myself. People ask me all day long if I post one thing about the Freemason movie or I retweet something that you guys do, I get 100. When's it coming? Where can we buy it? So when can we see it? When can the rest of us see the Freemason?
Yeah, well, I appreciate the question, because I think that's what makes this kind of an exclusive, you know, interview that, you know, is different from any other, you know, interviews from this point on, is that I can finally, you know, make that announcement that the film has received a limited nationwide theatrical release. And
really?
It was something we were all hoping for, and it's a very small percentage of feature films, you know, ever make it to the theaters. And because of the, you know, the strong response that we got, not just to the premiere, but that we've been receiving the whole time, we will be in theaters across the country. Yeah, we don't know exactly, you know, which cities and exactly which theaters, but it'll be primarily playing in the AMC theater chains, along with others, and the release date will be on February 7th. And so, yeah, it was, you know, something that the whole cast and crew striving for the whole time, and, you know, it almost seemed like something that was not attainable. So we're just grateful for the opportunity.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be fantastic. I mean, limited theatrical release, great, because you're going to be in some big cities, I'm sure. I know if it's in Chicago, you know I'm going to be down there. I've seen the movie, like I said, I watched the rough cut twice. I watched the regular, the completed version twice. I'll watch the theater movie twice, really. I love the movies anyway, so it's going to be great. And the week before Valentine's Day, so yeah, all the guys listening, you know what you're going to be doing. Hopefully she's going to take you to see the Freemason.
Yeah, and you know, there were at least as many, or, you know, possibly even more, you know, women at the premiere, because, you know, they love getting dressed up. They loved the red carpet, you know, getting to, you know, do that. And so they all loved it. And that was kind of surprising. I mean, you know, we knew going in that the main demographic was going to be, you know, males who have some sort of interest in the fraternity. But the twists and turns and the kind of Sherlock Holmes, you know, meets Hitchcock, you know, type of thriller that it is, you know, women, you know, really enjoyed it, just in the sense of trying to figure out who the killer is.
Oh.
And so, yeah, so I think it would, you know, it'd be great. And so, yeah, we'll be releasing the cities and locations as they, you know, get solidified. And we also are hoping to get feedback from cities like Chicago and New York and places like that, where there might be a high concentration of Freemasons, or maybe a city that you wouldn't think about, that, would really wants it to come and has enough of a demographic to support a theatrical release. And then that could be the determining factor that would put it in the theaters there and give everyone a chance to see it. And then, of course, once the theatrical release is done, it'll be available worldwide on every platform, DVD, digitally, cable networks, you know, all that'll come later. We're negotiating the deals on all that stuff, but it takes a little more time. So
yeah, it was great, man. I was gonna say, you know, when you were talking about the females coming out, one of the stars of the movie is Alex McKenna, and she plays a strong role in that movie. I'm sure ladies are gonna find her character interesting as well, because it's that murder mystery. You don't know who did it, and she plays a really good part in the film as well.
Yeah, she did, and you know, and she, you know, her character has an in-depth understanding of Freemasonry, because, you know, it's you know, her father is the Freemason who is murdered, basically, which triggers the entire film. And so from a female's point of view, you can, you know, watch the movie through her sphere, and I really think that you know, the women will come away with an entirely different perspective on Freemasonry. At least that's what I hope, because I know that sometimes they get kind of left out, and sometimes they feel left out. You know, I brought my wife to a lot of events and dinners and things like that, and every time she got to interact with other brothers and especially other brothers' wives, it really made her feel good. And it really, you know, it increased her intrigue. And I know that especially a lot of the older Masons, you know, that I know, there was a time, you know, when we weren't so busy, when the, you know, the women were really involved with, especially the, you know, you got the Eastern Star and the White Shrine and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. You know, now that their time is so valuable, it's harder for people to really give that much. But, yeah, I think all women deserve to be recognized a little bit more, at least, you know, the ones involved with Freemasonry, globally.
It was a great, great role because, like you said, it really mingles in how the woman's point of view in Masonry is. So that's going to be really exciting too, and it's going to add to that demographic who wants to see the film, and that's going to be important. Like I said, my wife watched it with me, the complete version, and she came away with it like she really liked the action. She had no idea, you know, for the ending. There's no way you can figure that out. It was pretty good. So she really liked it. And my wife's kind of a hard lady to win over when it comes to movies, so you guys did pretty good. And speaking of the ending of the movie, it's open. I mean, you could write a sequel. You could do it.
Sure, yeah. I mean, we didn't set out with that in mind. You know, the writer, who's not a Freemason, which was also interesting, but, you know, he did all the research. But then when we, you know, as we got closer and closer to production, he was able to modify it, because we did kind of, you know, get that sense that this really could be a sequel. And so, yeah, I mean, I wish we could explain more, but you know, without giving anything away, I mean, yeah, it's definitely a possibility. And you know, if there's enough support, you know, and it does well enough worldwide, then, I mean, I'd be the first guy, you know, diving in. And, you know, we've already, you know, started, you know, analyzing possibilities on that. So yeah, we'll see. The movie was made in 7 months, and so, and I think that if I was to do a sequel or any other movie, I could probably do one a little bit faster if there were just, you know, it's just that learning curve of, you know, assembling a film. It's just, you know, I guess you could probably never stop learning. And so if I could go back,
well, in that sense, you know, you know, we're always entered apprentices, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I was going to ask, with the movie, I mean, you guys shot that thing in 7 months. What was the editing?
Yeah, well, and for those people who don't know how feature films are made, you know, the actual shooting of the film was 12 days. I mean, so 12 to 15-hour days. We captured all the footage, and it was, you know, incredible. Sean was heavily involved with every scene, and then he wrote in. Some of the best scenes in the movie are scenes that were written in by Sean based off his intrigue and you know, new understanding of the fraternity. But I had the editors already putting it together while we were shooting it. And really, you know, films like this could take up to a year and a half, 2 years. The big studio films sometimes take 3 years. And so that's what made it happen so quickly, is that the editors were on it. I had two amazing editors. And there was, what we did is, we turned my entire basement into an editing bay, you know, and we don't have the nicest equipment. I mean, we're just using a bunch of older PCs and, you know, the best monitors and things that we can access. And myself and the editor spent 4 months straight basically taking Sundays off. It was the only day of the week we would not work a 12-hour day. And after the first month, he got so tired of driving to his house and then having to come right back that I just gave him one of the rooms downstairs. And so you know, we liked working at night. We were both night guys, and so we would start about 1 or 2 in the afternoon, and we'd work at least till 1 or 2, sometimes 3 or 4 in the morning. And then he would just go to, you know, right to bed. I'd go get some sleep. We'd wake up, eat breakfast, and then just go right back to it. And so, you know, it was kind of like being in a bunker you know, there were times where I didn't even leave the house for like 6 days, because we would just order pizza and Pepsi. And I don't know how many pizzas we ate, but he loved Hawaiian pizza. And so every night,
I'm done with pineapple.
So every night we would, we'd order a pineapple pizza and a couple 2 liters of Pepsi. And it was, for those who haven't edited, and I'm not an editor, I just was there trying to help. And it is so difficult. And sorting through all that footage, hours and hours of footage and trying to match it all up. And, it was just overwhelming. So, yeah, the editor did an amazing job.
Oh, yeah. My hat's off to him, definitely, because the scenes go together so well. It just, the movie flows. It does a really good job. So hats off to you guys, man, because it's great. So last time we talked, first time we talked, we were talking actually about Templar Nation. And that was a great movie as well. It had a great story. It was just a really neat adventure. I actually watched it the first time on Amazon Prime, and I had texted Steve Harrison, one of the writers for the Midnight Freemasons. And we watched it within a day or two of each other, and it was pretty neat. With the time that we had talked, you and I had asked you what was next on your plate, and you said, I got this huge thing planned, it's going to be amazing. And it has been. It was the Freemason movie. And now that you finished the Freemason, is there another epic coming?
Yeah, well, I was planning on going right into another Freemason film. And so that's kind of the fence that we're straddling right now is, do we make a sequel to Freemason, right away, or do I make another film, bigger and better than the Freemason, and then maybe do a sequel down the road. But, it'll be one of those two things. And, because I've determined that making, Masonic oriented, films that try to, shed light on how we make good men better and some of the history and the lure and everything. That's what I love. But for me to try to make a romantic comedy or a horror film or something, I mean, you never say never, anything's possible, but, I always hoped that I would be able to do this. And so, yeah, I can't wait to make an announcement as soon as we know. The writer's already working on both scenarios, and I'm going to use the same writer because I'm really impressed with him, and he's now essentially he knows as much as a Freemason basically, even though he's not, because he's done so much research. I mean, he read the whole book Freemasonry for Dummies by Brother Hodath, and he's read probably all the books that the people listening here have read. So, and he's gotten a lot better. We're all just trying to improve. And so I think that the next film, regardless of what it is really going to be something. So,
Definitely. I mean,
posted.
The Templar Nation was a great movie, and not saying anything bad about it, but the Freemason was a step up from that, and it's your movies are just progressively getting better and better. I know a lot of the brothers who are interested in the Freemason movie, and they have all said that they love the fact that a Freemason, one of our brothers, like a real Freemason, not somebody who might be a Freemason or whatever, but that an actual Mason is making Masonic movies, and that's just really exciting for everybody, I think. Especially, I mean, just in Illinois alone, you have 66,000 Masons. That's a potential person that's going to love the film.
Yeah, and to segment to that, I also want to thank all the people who have contacted me from, listening to your program. And, I thought that I was just going to be doing this alone and that I was going to have to suffer, the negative reviews and enjoy the positive reviews. And, since, I did your show last and talked about it, I've received dozens and dozens of emails from, masters of different lodges, just, general Freemasons, and they're all, interested in trying to help. They all would like copies to be able to show to new members and try to increase their excitement, a little bit maybe, and try to make sure that there's a lot of EAs that maybe don't finish the MM degree. They there's not enough of a spark, or there's not enough intrigue, or they get distracted. And so people are coming up with all sorts of really cool ideas. And so I just wanted to say thanks to all of you out there. And what I've done to simplify the process and also to make sure that I can communicate, personally to each one of you, is that if I set up an email called the Freemason Movie Information @gmail.com. And so I know it's kind of long, but it's the freemasonmovieinformation@gmail.com. It's all, you know, one word. And what that does is, you get to email, you know, directly to me. I'll respond, personally, and I can answer any question. If you have suggestions or ideas, anything is, on the table. And, you know, that way, if you're, you know, posting something on Twitter or Facebook, you know, wondering, you know, the release or, you know, whatever it is, I don't want people to think I just, you know, ignore those or that, you know, I don't want to get back to you, because I've just had a hard time, you know, trying to follow up on all of them. And so, I'm interested to hear from people, and, you know, most of the ideas are incredible, and they're all better ideas, you know, than I could come up with as far as, you know, interesting things that can be done now that the movie's finished. So, I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. So everybody, you guys can check out the freemasonmovieinformation@gmail.com. I'll put that in the show notes as well. We'll put it on the Facebook page and everything when the episode comes out. And that way we can send all of our emails and we can bother Joseph on that and stop clogging up his other inbox. But I just want to say thanks again, Brother Joseph, for taking the time out and hanging out with us. Thanks again for letting us premiere the information about the U.S. theatrical release. Just an honor to have you on the show again.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, your show is cool. Just having this, this platform, you know, I think is important. And so, and the people listening, thank you to all of you that are listening as well. So, yeah, I'll be in touch. And as soon as I have new updates, you know, I'll get a hold of you. Appreciate it.
Very cool. So, everybody, you can follow Joseph James on Twitter at Joseph James News, and you can also check out the Twitter account for the Freemason Movie, and that's just at the Freemason Movie. Check out josephjamesfilms.com. There's a link to it right on WCY Podcast. If you can't find it, you can just go to wcypodcast.com, and it's right there at the top. It's a tab, and it'll take you right to the website. So thanks again, brother, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay, see ya.
All right, there you have it. The movie will be in select theaters nationwide starting on February 7th. If you have any questions about anything, you can email Joseph James directly at thefreemasonmovieinformation@gmail.com. Now, he and I both thought about it, and we do know that that is a little bit long of a email address, but please, if you do have questions about it, use that email address. And like Joseph said, he can get back to you personally as soon as he can. Let's talk this week's famous Freemason, Brother Winsor McKay. Now, when I first heard about him, I didn't know what he did. Then when I read about what he did, turns out not only did I know one of his projects, I fell in love with it as a child. Winsor McKay was born on September 26th. The year is up for debate. It was either 1869, 1871, or 1867. He did pass away on July 26th, 1934. He was a writer and illustrator of Little Nemo in Slumberland, and, under the name Silas, Dreams of the Rarebit Fiend. McKay also produced the first feature-length film cartoon, The Sinking of the Lusitania, in 1917. McKay's biography notes that he joined a Masonic lodge in Chicago sometime between 1889 and 1891, but does not give the name. There are several references to Freemasonry in Kane Maker's book. McKay received a Masonic funeral in New York, as did his father, Robert, a member of King Solomon's Lodge No. 43 in Woodstock, Ontario, who later affiliated with a lodge in Michigan. An unsigned illustration to a short story entitled Why There Are No Women Masons is considered to be by McKay. So again, if you were a child of the age back then, you may remember Little Nemo in Slumberland. However, in the 80s and 90s, there was a cartoon movie that was produced entitled Little Nemo in Slumberland. And actually, on Facebook, a brother and I both discussed our love of that movie. So, pretty interesting that it just kind of popped up. Anyway, I think that about wraps it up for this week. Remember, next week there will be no show on Sunday night. I'm going to go on a little holiday break, spend some time with my family. I encourage you all to do the same thing. Spend your time with your family, put away your smartphones, stop doing writing for a week, and really spend some quality time with your friends and your family, some real face-to-face time. Enjoy the book this week. If you're grabbing the app, or if you already have the app, make sure you download the book. I think you guys will really enjoy it. Remember, do your shopping at freemasonryart.com and on it. And use the promo codes WCY at the checkout for both of them, and it gives you 10% off. Please check out the Midnight Freemasons website for 3 new articles each week. And now, while you're on the subject of cool gifts, I'm just throwing this out there now. Why not get that brother that you know a subscription to the Working Tools magazine, the largest independent Masonic magazine in the United States? They have great featured writers, great history, and also, it's the one place you're sure to find the Midnight Freemasons other than the blog, and in print. The articles that we put out in the Working Tools are exclusive, meaning you won't find them anywhere else for a long time. They premiere right there in the Working Tools magazine. Check out www.twtmag.com. Please check it out. Brother Corey Sigler is the chief over there, and he's all in, and he's made that magazine tremendous. If you want, you can even hear an interview with Brother Corey Sigler in the special guests section of the website on wcypodcast.com. I will be adding a couple people to the upcoming interviews on the special guests page, and I'm really excited about it. Brother Mongelli is a guest I've been trying to have on for a while. He's been under the weather a little bit, and he's working hard, so we will eventually get him on to talk about his excellent book as well. Please remember to buy your Masonic neckwear through Fraternal Ties, where Brother John Paul Gomez makes the best silk ties on the planet. Also, please don't forget about Brother Jeff Koch, USA produced and made products to bring you the best water filtration anywhere. His company is PB&J Water, and you can find them on pbandjwater.com. He can even help you with brewing beer. That's right, I'm a brewer. I know a lot of you guys are brewers also. If you do homebrew, what makes better beer recipes? Well, if the water's better. Imagine your best beer recipes, but now better because the water is better. Well, it's true. It can make it better. So you can check out Brother Jeff Koch at PB&J H2O on Twitter, and his website is actually pbnjh2o.com. Don't forget to follow Brother Juan Sepulveda on Twitter at WindingStairs33. Follow Brother Robert P. Lewis at Robert P. Lewis on Twitter, or you can follow him at Far From Centered on Twitter. And don't forget to follow the Midnight Freemasons on Twitter at Midnight Masons. Take care, everybody. Stay on the level. For whence came you, I'm Robert Johnson.